I know I mention this all the time, but I never want to take and miss an opportunity just to praise God for who He is and what He does. And when He picks out the music and lays it on Stephanie's heart, and she has no idea what my message is about, and there are just so many things that God does that if we don't see them, if we don't acknowledge them, we are robbing ourselves of a blessing and the opportunity to thank God. And so I'll probably mention it again, but this past weekend, I was able to go to a men's conference in Bolivar. Dr. Dutille, those of you that have been around a while know Dr. Dutille. He used to be the Greek professor at SBU. When I was in college, he was there. I think I've even told stories about him. They were good, in case you're listening. They were good. But he did a men's conference at First Baptist Bolivar. And, man, I wish they would have recorded it. And I would gladly just put it up here instead of me. But God is so good that the song He talked about, we sang. I had took notes earlier this week, and some of the things that I had written down were almost word for word what quote He made during this message. And I thought, one of two people need to hear this message. It's either me or my son-in-law, because we were both there, and I'm pretty sure it's probably me. But I'm just saying that God has pounded me with this all week, and it just, God is so, so good when it comes to loving even me. Let's turn, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. This is a passage that I'm sure you are very familiar with. We're going to talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan. So many times we read this passage and there are things in it that we know what God has for us. And so because of that, you've heard this so many times that you may have a tendency to tune me out. But my prayer is that you cannot tune God out this morning, because what He has to say is so powerful, so overwhelming. So let's open our hearts and dive into His Word. Starting in verse 25 of chapter 10 in Luke, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and testing Him, Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live.' But he," the lawyer, "wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, 'Take care of him. And whatever you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Let's pray. Father God, I just come before you now and I open your word and I want you to speak to me, through me, in spite of me, in every way, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, that we would understand what it is that you desire for us to hear and the change that you desire. Lord, we don't just want to come here and listen to songs, sing songs, listen to a message and walk out. God, we want to learn to love you. So I pray that today you would show us how to love you and others. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this is a very familiar passage that most everybody in here has probably heard at some point. You hear it even in the secular world sometimes. People saying, you know, that good Samaritan, you know, he was a good guy when... And so I want us today to first look at that lawyer, that scribe. He was one that studied the law. He was one that would write the law out. He was very knowledgeable, obviously, because when Jesus asked the question, what does the law say? He knew exactly. He knew the right answer. He was a very religious man. But that was not enough. So if you're sitting here today saying, I'm a pretty religious person, I'm very knowledgeable of the Bible, so what? I found out this week that a man who's been a Christian 50-some years, he's taught in seminaries, he's taught Greek lessons that so in-depth that seminaries would call him and say, please don't teach as much, our students are getting bored. And the man told me, he said, I learned more in the last 2 years than I ever knew in the other 50. So if you think you know enough, you don't. None of us do. This man, he had the right answers. He told Jesus that he knew that the two commandments that Jesus himself in the Gospels say that everything can be summed up in these two commandments, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, this man had an issue. He wanted to justify himself, is what it says. He wanted to put limitations on who he had to love. Because, you know, the Jews, this religious Jew, there were certain people that they didn't feel like they had to love. We know, and we've heard the passage, we've read the book, we know what it says, and we know Jesus says to love our neighbor as ourself, and it goes into that in this passage. But I've got a list of people that the Jews did not have to love. You ever heard that before? They did not think they had to love the wicked, the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the Gentiles, and especially Samaritans. They had a get-out-of-jail-free card for hating those people. It's not only they didn't have to love them, they could hate them and that was okay. They took the Old Testament law and they twisted it where God hates sin, and so if that's a sinner, I can hate him. So I don't have to love him. I can fulfill the law by loving God and just loving my Christian brothers and sisters. Just my Jewish brothers and sisters was all they thought they had to love. And so he springs that question. Well, you know, Jesus told him who he had, what the Scripture said, or he said what the Scripture said, and wanting to justify himself, he asked that question, who is my neighbor? Who do I really have to love? He's hoping Jesus would say, well, just love your Jewish brothers and sisters that come to the synagogue. Jesus does not answer that second question. Instead of answering that question, he gives this parable that we've heard, this story that we've heard. But the thing is, that trip from Jerusalem to Jericho that it talks about, it's about 17 miles. And it's curvy, and it's got caves alongside it. It's rocky. There's a lot of area there where, to this day, it's not a good place to travel, especially on foot. But that was a place that was known for people to be attacked as they traveled down the road. So as he tells this story to this certain lawyer knows immediately what happens on that road. And he's telling them this, and as he tells this story, we know it. We always get into the idea of you've got the priest and you've got the Levite. These are religious people. These are good Jewish people. And one goes by on the other side of the road, and we could get into that, and there's a sermon there. One comes over and actually looks at the man and then goes to the other side of the road and leaves. And so we could get into that as a sermon, but I don't think that's where we're to be this morning. And so as he talks about this Samaritan who comes and loves on this man, it says he has compassion on him. When he sees the need, he begins to love. But the man's question has to be answered by the man. And so I'm going to ask you a question today. This man asked the question, who are we supposed to love? I'm going to run through three or four of them here real quick. The one that nobody else will love. The one that everybody else just passes by. That person that is not a part of your circle, Samaritan, Jew, popular person, not so popular person, well-dressed person, person that doesn't have that opportunity. You have to love the one outside of your circle. You have to love the one that cost you. Look at what it cost this Samaritan. He bandaged him with something. He had oil and wine, and that wasn't to eat or drink. That was kind of like a first aid kit back in their day. And you would pour one on there to soothe the pain, and the other would begin the healing. So it cost him that. And then it cost him a walk for the rest of the 17 miles because he put the man on his own animal. So therefore, he must have walked. And then he paid the owner of the innkeeper. He paid him 2 denarii. That was 2 days' wages. Scholars believe that those 2 days' wages would have paid for up to 24 days in an inn. It cost him, but he was willing to pay it. When we are to love those people, it's going to cost us. Man, it doesn't cost me much to love you guys. You love me back. But when it's those people that it costs us, man, that's a little harder. But that's what Jesus said. And not only the one that nobody else will love, the one that's outside our circle, and the one that's going to cost us, but the one that we have to, that continues to need it. This is tough. He says, I'll come back. And if you pay any more, I'll repay you for whatever you have to spend. He was willing to continue to love this man even when he wasn't there. Man, sometimes I just want to love the people that are in front of me. Sometimes I don't even want to do that, but I know I need to. Don't laugh. We all do it. I'm just being honest. But we need to love even when they're not there. And to continue to love the unlovable, the costly, the ones that we have nothing in common with, that's the ones he calls us to love. And Jesus asks this question. He says, of which of these three do you think was neighbor to him? Now remember the first question? Who's my neighbor? Who do I have to love? What you narrow it down and you tell me who I have to love. Who's my neighbor? Jesus didn't answer that question still. He said, who was a neighbor to the man that needed love? So it's not, I got to figure out who my neighbor is so I'll know who to love. It's be the neighbor. Jesus says, who was the neighbor? The one that had mercy on him. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't look to see who we're supposed to love. You love whoever's in need. That's the only way it works. But how does that work? How does this Samaritan, who would have nothing to do with Jews, and who's to say that if it was switched around that this Samaritan was there, that the Jew would even give him another thought? How do we get to that point of loving the unlovable, of loving those that we have nothing in common with, loving those that it's going to cost us, and loving those that just need it and need it and need it? How do we do that? I think we have to go back to that answer that the lawyer gave. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Stop there for just a second. Because if you're going to try to love somebody else, and you're not loving God first, you will never be able to love that man correctly. Real quick, I'm going to look at a verse that's not on my notes here, but I'm going to look at it. It's in 1 John chapter 4. It says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, being Jesus, that he who loves God must love his brother also. There is no way for me to love my brother unless I love God. Now, there are people that love other people and don't love God. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about loving in such a way, loving God first in such a way with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, loving God in such a way that it flows out that I can't help but loving my brother. Now, loving my brother doesn't get me in the right relationship with God. That's backwards. What it is, if I love God correctly, then the love for my brother will become natural because God loves them. And I want to love God so much that I begin to love the things that God loves. I begin to love the people that God loves. So it seems like the first thing I need to do is to love God correctly. And then that will leak over or bleed over into loving our neighbor the way we should. But this weekend, I had this, like I said, this opportunity. And we can never understand how to love and who to love until we try to understand how much God loves us. Because that's the key. I could come to anybody in here, when you walked in the door this morning or when you walk out, and I'd say, does God love you? And you say, yes. We all know that. But do you ever just bask in that love? Do you ever just stop and think? Because generally when we talk about God's love for us, where do we immediately go? We go to the cross, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we go to that verse, and that's great. We should go to those two places. But I want you to go this week. I'm challenging every single person in here, myself included. You go to the Bible and you find this week how God loves you. Look at the things He has done. Look at the things He is doing. It's in His Word how much He loves us extravagantly. The same way this Samaritan loved this man. This Samaritan's walking down the road and he sees this broken, beat up, half dead man. Jesus Christ looked down and he saw you and I. Unlovable, broken, in need, and there was nothing we could do. And he chose to love us. like this man, Samaritan Jew, the God of all creation, and me, a broken sinner. The God of all creation and you, a broken sinner. The love of God cannot be measured. The love of God has to be thought about, has to be dwelled upon, has to be experienced. And if all you and I do is just say, well, yeah, he proved it when he became a baby, and that's just knowing about it. I want you to experience that love of God. Don't just know about it. Man, my cousin's boy has a race car, and he races almost every weekend, and I know all about those races. I can see where he finishes. I can see the things that he does. I see his car and all, but I've never been in that car. I've never experienced what it's like to be behind the steering wheel of that race car. There are people today, probably sitting right here, that know all about the love of God. They can quote you verses. They can tell you all the things that the Bible tells them about God and about His love. But I want you to experience it. I want to experience it. I want it to be something that is not just something I've read about, not just something I know about, not just something I trust is going to happen in the future, but what is going on today is the love of God. It's not something He did just then. It's not something He's going to do in the future. It's something He does every day, is love you. And we walk right past Him. I was at the festival this weekend, and I saw this beautiful little girl down there with her daddy, and then I saw her grandma coming. And you know what grandma did first? Anybody in here know what grandma did? Went straight to Hadley. Man, you couldn't keep her away from Hadley until Aunt Heather came and stole her away. But it's that the desire to just love. Every time you're near, I hear Ken talk about his grandkids all the time and how they've changed his life, and they want to go see him every time. That's the way with every one of you that have talked to me since I found out I'm going to be a grandpa. I have heard so many people say, it's going to change your life. And I know it's going to. But I hear you and I see you and I know, and I know that your grandchild or your child experiences your love. They don't just have their parents say, hey, just so you know, grandpa loves you. They don't ever have to hear that because they know. They've experienced it. And that's why when that kid, when Hadley sees Stephanie, she was ready to go. Are we that way? Because God loves us even more. Even more than we can ever imagine. And we walk by Him like He's nothing. I know He loved me. I've heard that. I know He's going to love me, and I'm going to spend eternity with Him. But today is the day that we need to love Him. Because until we understand the love He has for us and the opportunity to love Him back, we'll never love our brother. So I want us to experience. And how that's going to happen, that's up to you. I'll tell you how to do it. But I know that God is sitting there. His mercies are new every morning. His blessings are there. His grace is sufficient. All those verses. But until you desire to get into the love of God and experience the love of God, it's just head knowledge. And sometimes that's why I live the way I live, is because I'm not experiencing it, I'm teaching about it. I'm not experiencing it, I'm reading about it. Man, we want to experience it. That when that eastern sky splits open, our love for Him will be together. But I want to experience it as I walk through it. I don't want to wait. I don't want you to have to wait. So I'm going to close this part of the service today with, He tells us to be a neighbor, to go and do likewise. And it's almost impossible to do until we love Him. And we will never love Him correctly until we understand, or at least try to understand. We'll never fully understand till we're there. But to try to understand and experience the love of God, strap yourself in, because it will change your life. That's what He desires for us. You are an object of the greatest love this world has ever known. Go find out why. But it's not in the why, it's in the how. Experience the love of God this week. And it's not just in the blessings. It's in the love of God. And you've got to find that for yourself. Now, I know there are people here this morning that are saying, well, I don't know how to do that. It takes time and effort and desire to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Because we don't do that. That's not a normal thing. So if you're sitting here today and you've never come to that point, maybe you've never even accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never thought about the fact that when He died on the cross, He did it for you. And so you've never given your life to Him. That's the first step in experiencing that love. But the next step is abiding in His Word and spending time with Him and desiring Him and looking to see what He does, and just seeking time with Him to love Him. And for us as Christians, we don't do it enough. Because I'm satisfied that I've made that first step. Or maybe I've made a few more steps and I'm closer to God than I was. You're still not where you need to be. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings that You give us. Lord, in this time, we say it all the time, we want to love You more. Lord, help us to see the love You have for us. Help us to experience that, not just today, but every day. To experience time with You and to realize and see the love You have for us. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.